if we zoom into the daily chart, actually miners are already leading the way. So if we just take a look at this chart pattern for miners, they've had a strong pullback, but we've had this rally and this little bull flag pattern, a launch pad. And now they've already broken this high. They're flirting with that. So they're leading the way higher. If we look at silver miners like SILJ, it's built a bottom and it's already popping and breaking to the upside. And then, of course, if we flip back to gold, you can see where gold is here. And gold, let me just clear this chart, clean it up a bit. Gold has not broken this high. Gold miners and silver miners are already breaking out. So it's right now we're seeing miners leading gold and silver, or gold, I mean, and that's a good sign. If the miners lead, then gold should follow. So that short term.
Chris Vermilion, the technical traders, how are you, man?
I'm good, Andy. How are you? Happy Doom. Holidays.
Happy holidays to you. It's been a while since I've seen you. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah.
So let's start with this first. Let's get your thoughts on 24, specifically gold, silver, and the equities, the performance of those, and perform what you thought they would. And where do we go from here?
Yeah. If we take a look at kind of gold, silver from, you know, when we look back a year, it's been a very strong year for gold. I mean, gold is up almost like 30% on the year. Beautiful run. It's had a series of rallies and pauses, which we've seen let me just grab this tool. We've seen a very nice series of stair-stepping its way up. You rally, pause, rally, pause, rally. We're in another pause phase right here. Overall, this was more or less to be expected. When we look at the monthly chart of gold, based on a 15-year cycle from back in 2000, back when the previous super cycle in gold took off to the highs, we were expecting this type of breakout. We were expecting 2,700 to 2,800 in that range. We have now hit that. And of course, we've seen this beautiful run, this breakout of this bull flag. So the big thing right now is I think gold and silver have had most of their moves in terms of their upside potential. I think they could go back up and test the highs. But overall, one of the great plays this year was really just holding on to physical metals. And now they've reached that level that I think we're going to see probably a little bit of weakness coming into 2025, or not into 25, but in later 2025, we'll probably see the equities markets, precious metals pull back a bit. But this is across the board. When we look at silver, it's also had a similar run. This whole year has been up and to the right. And of course, we're seeing miners do very well. Also, if we look at GDX, they've moved up and to the right, pretty much all to their measured moves when we break it down. So I think a large chunk of that, Andy, has to do with people getting nervous about the stock market with World War III. You know, we've had a pretty big bull market in equities, and it feels like the kind of top is starting to come into play. So people are moving into this defensive sector pretty much all for the past year. And I think it's going to continue to be favorable for another couple of months, because I think there's a lot of uncertainty and it really doesn't matter what the stock market does here. I think we're going to see gold, silver, and miners continue to move up into the right into January at some point.
Got it. I'm taking notes here that when you see me looking down here, if you could pull up the monthly charts on gold, if you would.
Sure.
And right there, that tail end from really all of 24. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that, you being the technician that you are, is that scary to you in the sense that it looks almost like a parabolic?
Yeah, it depends on how you stretch it out. So it is, it's fairly parabolic. I mean, that's a pretty big run. It's not like, typically when I see parabolic, I see like a couple big green bars that go straight up, like a brick wall, right? But when we kind of look at it, you know, it's rallied, it paused to this five-month moving average. It rallied, it's paused to the five-month. So it's somewhat sustainable, but I do believe we've seen that we've hit this major resistance level. And that's why I think we've seen that bout of high volume selling last month. And when we look back at the price action, you and I had talked about this once before, this Fibonacci target, which tells us where gold should run into resistance based off this last level, which is the start of the super cycle, the pullback, and then the 618. If we hit this level, usually we see a pause. And if we have a pause, we almost always go up to this 100% measured move. And that's what we've hit now. So this breakout was like a very clean kind of no-brainer move to the upside. But now that move to me is done. This move that we just had is actually very similar to what happened over here, where we saw bubbles happen in real estate and equities. And then suddenly gold kind of went parabolic or rallied just before we went into a market reset. And so I believe we're going to go into a market reset and see the precious metal space pull back for one final kind of blow or pause or opportunity, depending on how you look at it, before we go into a multi-year move where gold and silver miners are going to go parabolic. So this price action in general, what goes up this fast usually is going to come back down for a good chunk of it. And that's not a bad thing. We just need to be mentally prepared that's probably going to happen.
Got it. Well, and I guess the question you hear is, but you might have already answered it, but if you can re-answer it again, when you say done, you mean just this stage of the upward trend done, or we will see, but it looks like that. Yeah. Explain to me done.
Yeah. So this breakout from this pattern, this blue box, this measured move from this target to that target, that move is done. So now we need to let the chart pull back. We need to let price build a new chart pattern, preferably like a bull flag, which means it's going to flag down and sideways for a few bars, which could be 4, 5, 6 months. Every bar here is a month. And once it builds that, takes that pause and pulls back, once it starts to turn up, if gold miners are on board and leading the way, that could be the sign that, hey, this is the next major move, kind of like over here. Let me just redraw this box. So a similar box would be this move broke out and it went to the high. Once that move was done, then the market went into a correction. So I believe we've had this upside move. That opportunity is now finished. And now we need to let the charts build out the next few bars to allow us to project where the next move is and also when that new trend to the upside will start.
Got it. If you could, let's talk about the equities a little bit and delve into them. I know that the equities, I think we had GDX up. GDX is fine. They had a really strong run here. Look at that. It's somewhat mirrored the chart of gold. Correct me if I'm wrong. That all being said, it seems like the equities have really lacked this big move upwards. Is that still your opinion, or was that your opinion? And do you see upside on the equities? Yeah, the equity charts.
Yeah, there's no doubt gold miners and silver miners have underperformed. Gold is up here at new highs and miners are far off the highs. So they've underperformed, which is why I don't believe gold is taking off to the moon right now. I think we need the miners to participate. But if we zoom into the daily chart, actually miners are already leading the way. So if we just take a look at this chart pattern for miners, they've had a strong pullback, but we've had this rally and this little bull flag pattern, a launch pad. And now they've already broken this high. They're flirting with that. So they're leading the way higher. If we look at silver miners like SILJ, it's built a bottom and it's already popping and breaking to the upside. And then, of course, if we flip back to gold, you can see where gold is here. And gold, let me just clear this chart, clean it up a bit. Gold has not broken this high. Gold miners and silver miners are already breaking out. So it's right now we're seeing miners leading gold and silver, or gold, I mean. And that's a good sign. If the miners lead, then gold should follow. So that short term, I'm bullish for the whole precious metal space going into the end of the year. I think we're going to see all of them kind of work their way up to the highs that we saw back in October. And maybe they're going to pierce a little bit higher. So there is some pretty good upside potential. Like gold itself has got potential for 4, 5, 6% upside. Miners have got 10 to 15% upside. So there's still a good trade there. And seasonality wise, Andy, when we look at gold, there's actually a few tailwinds helping this trade. Seasonality wise, which is we're pretty much right here for gold in December, usually we see the precious metal space push higher. And to boot, if you're looking at the equity side and on precious metals, we also see the equities market, the stock market, naturally go up. And if the stock market goes up, it naturally wants to lift all stocks with it. And gold miners are obviously a stock. So there's definitely some really good tailwinds, I think, to push the precious metal space and miners up into the end of January, into the end of December and into January.
Yeah, did you say that's just the Santa Claus rally? I don't want to say just, but
It's, I mean, seasonality wise, the Santa Claus rally, it's happened so long. It's like kind of, you know, everybody just thinks about it and takes part of it, and it's self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Same with the like sell in May and go away. A lot of times you see the markets top out end of May and then, you know, correct until to October. But, you know, this is a time of year where everybody, not everybody, a good group of people are happy. When people are happy, they want to buy things. They want to invest. When people are in a good mood, they spend money. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we see the stock market go up this time of year. It's just, you know, happy people like to invest and look longer term into the future.
Got it. Talk to me a little bit more about the equities. You made a great comment there, an interesting comment about that the equities are leading, if you would, and that they really need to catch up to gold, just to really make this, I'm paraphrasing, make this a strong market. Do the equities typically lead the metal? And I've just been of the opinion that hasn't been true recently, but in previous gold bull markets and silver bull markets, that has been the case. Correct me if I'm wrong, or what's your opinion on that?
Yeah. So when we're in a really strong bull market in precious metals, for gold, the miners should lead the way. They should bottom first. They should rally and break out of a chart pattern first. And then typically gold follows. So, you know, savvy investors, they want to move into the leverage play. If they think gold's going to bottom, they're not going to buy slow moving gold. They're going to be like, I'm going to go buy a gold mining stock. If gold moves up 5%, the mining stock could move 20%. So the savvy investors, when we are in a bullish environment, a very strong bullish phase, they'll move into miners first and then gold will follow suit. And we really haven't been in that. You know, when we look at where gold is at all-time highs and where miners like GDX or any of the other miner ETFs, they're nowhere near all-time highs when we look back. They're totally underperforming. Just short-term on the daily chart, they're showing some signs of life for the next 1 or 2 months where I think miners and precious metals should be strong, and they are outperforming. But I think what we need to wait for is for a financial reset for gold, silver miners, real estate, the equities market in general, like the stock indexes, to pull back and have a reset. And then after that, gold miners should bottom first. Gold and silver should bottom first. And then we'll be off to the races. And when gold miners are outperforming gold, you know, week after week and leading the charge, and majority of gold miners are in a bullish pattern, which you can look at like gold miners, like a bullish percent index, tells you what percentage of gold stocks are bullish, are trending higher. Then you'll get really excited. I'll be really excited about the market. But right now they're underperforming in general from the big picture. And so I don't believe we're in that bull market phase. But once we kick into it, I mean, it's something I'll be talking about all the time. I'll be getting involved with miners. I'm not into miners right now. I just like physical metals. But there will be a time when we start that new major bull market where miners outperform, and you really just want to be involved in miners because they're going to be explosive.
Yeah. And what would be the catalyst, if you would, for the miners, or when you would see, what would you want to see looks like the move? Do you want to see a breakout, or do you want to see really, really negative sentiment, which is almost the opposite of a breakout to the upside?
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, like I like to see valuations get cleansed. Like in 2008, we saw this massive waterfall sell off. I would love to see a huge, sharp sell-off in miners and gold. But then eventually I'm going to want to see a very sharp rebound where miners all bottom, big money is moving in across the board and into all miners, large caps, small caps. Gold also puts in a bottom with big volume. The sentiment for the precious metal space from the masses will be very bearish. Nobody will want to hold them because they've all just taken a beating. And of course, the sentiment for the overall stock market of investors as a whole are going to be like, I hate the stock market. I lost a ton of money. You know, this is the worst thing ever. And so we need that really terrible, unfortunately, that bias where nobody wants involved in anything. but then we see gold, silver miners just come to life. It'll be a knee-jerk reaction kind of usually bottom. So if we were to go back to 2008, where we started to see a bottom, we'll eventually see some type of knee-jerk reaction. And eventually you'll start to get above key moving averages. We'll see gold also putting in a bottom. And it does take some time for a major bottom to carve itself out, but we'll see volume start to increase in this space. You can see how there is really very little volume and interest, and eventually it starts to get bigger and bigger. So there's a lot of things that kind of have to layer in. It does take time. You'll never nail the bottom unless you pick it, but really we're going to let things have to mature. Somewhere in this phase eventually is where we'd probably see like the miners put in this major bottom, and gold will have done the same hopefully, and then we start to see this overall trend start to move higher. So we really just need a really terrible sentiment. Nobody wants it. Everybody's been flushed out, sold, and that creates that opportunity.
Yeah, you remind me of, I want to say Jesse Livermore, or the Eminence of a Stock Operator. I don't know if you read that.
Yeah.
But it's, you're really going on sentiment here, which is interesting and true. It's something I share here. If it's okay, I want to throw you a little bit of a curveball. And just for all of our viewers, I email Chris, and whenever he's on, we'll email to, hey, I want to talk to you about gold and silver, just that you have the heads up. But what we didn't talk about, or I didn't let you know, is I wanted to know, do you have any charts that are set up in the natural resource space that are looking interesting? That, yeah, like in copper, nickel, or oil, or anything like that. Do you have anything that looks interesting?
Yeah, the one spot that I think is the most interesting is in the energy space. So if we take a look, this plays off of two charts. If we take a look at crude oil here, and we just zoom way back on these charts, crude oil is really messing with a very long-term chart pattern. Let's just pull this back down. If we just draw a line across kind of where it's moving, you can see oil is either above this line or somewhat stuck below it. And we've been bouncing on top of this 67, 68 kind of area for a long time.
Yeah.
And oil is nowhere near the highs. And this is the setup that I like, is oil, every time it's bouncing here, it's eating away its support, and the highs keep getting lower. So there's fewer and fewer buyers. There's more people leaning and selling into this blue support line. And the fact that oil is nowhere near the highs, yet everybody seems to be talking about $200 per barrel oil is really interesting, because everybody seems to be positioned in the energy space for high oil. World War III is on their mind, all of that stuff. When this breaks, oil is going to go into a landslide and drop probably 10, 15, 20 bucks very quickly. And what, to me, the opportunity is actually not so much in oil, it's actually in the energy stock space, which if we take a look at energy stocks, they have a series, they have this all these rising lows. People have been moving into energy stocks, anticipating oil to take off and for energy stocks to take off. But when we look at the monthly chart, whenever energy stocks get, we have this huge divergence. So everybody thinks there's going to be World War III. They're positioned in energy stocks near all-time highs. Whenever we get up to these highs, this is 2008, we saw the big reset, another weak economic condition, and oil here is not performing. If oil breaks down, we're going to see this huge, I think, landslide in energy stocks. It's going to hurt a lot of people. And this rising flag pattern where it's pushing up and making higher highs and higher lows, there's a very strong power building behind that. If it breaks to the upside, this thing's going like 150 a share. If it breaks down, it's going to like 60 or 50 a share. So it is going to be a very violent move. Right now, it is still in an uptrend. But what I'm looking for is if oil breaks down, then we're going to start to see people unwind all of these positions. And the daily chart of the XLE is really exciting, because when we look at these levels, every time there's a pivot low on this chart. So we can look at a low here, another low. We can just keep drawing all of these little new nominal lows. And the more lows there are close together, each one of these is where some group of traders will have a protective stop set. And so they're all layered in here. And so what happens is once we start to break this start to break through some of these, it's going to trigger stops. And the more that are clustered together, especially down here on this 80, 76, I think it's going to be a big, big waterfall sell-off in the energy space. And the play will be to the downside. And it'll probably coincide with the stock market probably putting in a top as well. So that to me is the big disconnect. Energy stocks are way up. Oil is way down. Energy stocks look like they're ready to rally, yet energy looks like it's ready to, like oil's about to break down. I don't know why there's such this huge divergence. And something's going to break. And it's going to lead to one good opportunity. If the energy stocks do come to life and there is World War III and oil spikes, the energy space has got a great upside move. Other than that, if oil breaks down, man, I don't think you want to be holding energy stocks. And a lot of people are in energy because they pay dividends and people just pile into them, but they could get a pretty big haircut.
That would be me. But on that, let's say energy, let's game this out. So energy does break out the energy stocks do break down. Would you say that? Would you be buying that pain if you would, or would you? Yeah. What's your opinion on that?
I think the sweet spot for like XLE will be somewhere down in this range, which is the 38% and the 50% retracement, meaning whatever this rally was to the upside, it's going to pull back 38 to 50%. This is usually the sweet spot where you see a pullback that would break all of these lows, including this last one right here, and create that little flush out. And that could be a very good opportunity for a very strong bounce or potentially the start of another big move. Obviously, this is a long ways out of when this could happen. But if the stock market is potentially putting in a major bottom, we have some reset, and the stock market gives a buy signal, then you know this would be a buying opportunity. This will be a pretty sweet spot to get involved.
Got it. Another curveball. You keep on mentioning the stock market and oil. How are they related, or can you pull up some charts just to show the correlation there or talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can pull oil up. I mean, typically when we see one of the other things here is let's just look at these cycles, which oil plays into this. So when this blue cycle, which is the stock market cycle, is near a major top, that's when we see gold and silver have those big runs and rallies you and I just talked about. They kind of went parabolic somewhat this year. Energy stocks tend to outperform and take off. And of course, we just talked about it. XLE, the energy sector space, is like everybody's positioned in it, expecting chaos, uncertainty, high oil pricing. So that's kind of a big concern here. What was your question there? Again, it was...
just the correlation again with energy as well as just the broader market.
Right. So typically when we see this kind of whole move with the gold and energy space moving up in correlation to the overall cycle, these are some of the things that are kind of telling me like, hey, be aware that the economy might be starting to slump. Things might be just starting to run out of steam. The music might be coming to an end here soon and things are going to break down. And that's why we have this huge disconnect with the energy space and energy stocks. So, if energy starts to break down, that's a sign of economic weakness coming, that people think there's not going to be huge demand. There's always some wild cards. We're talking about lots of oil in the U.S. ground, using that now. That could drop oil. If we look at copper, though, copper is a good leading indicator.
Yeah.
And copper is, it's been moving down. It is making a series of lower highs. It does have this kind of rough support trend line through here. So it is kind of still working its way up, but I do believe it's put in a pretty major top, and the monthly chart shows kind of a big scenario picture of what it looks like. We're up into these nosebleed sections where every time we see it get up here, we eventually see a bigger reset. So I think we could very easily see copper down back at 350, potentially back down to even $3. It's holding its ground to some regard right now, but I do think if copper does start to break these lows down around 390 or so, that'll be another kind of early warning sign that, hey, I think we're starting to see the economy slow. If copper and oil slow, it's not a good sign for the economy. So that's kind of how I see those two kind of connected to the bigger picture of cycles coming to an end.
Got it. Okay. On closing, what kind of 25, or is there anything that you're looking at that you didn't mention? Obviously, you thought that gold still has some room in the early parts of the year. We're waiting to see about the oil. But yeah, just what are you referring to? Just anything in 25?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think there's two plays that I'm interested in. The first one is the bond market, like TLT. It is carving out what looks to be like a signature bottom. I wouldn't try to pick it yet, but it looks like it's trying to turn a corner. Now, there are a bunch of wild Trump cards in here, pardon the pun, tariffs, which could increase inflation, which means interest rates won't really go down, which means bonds will stay here. But if we have blood on Wall Street and stocks are crashing and things get really bad, the Fed still may cut rates. And as everything else goes down, bonds could actually have a really good rally. So I'm drooling over this chart pattern because it does look really good. It's not quite ready yet as an investment, but it could become a very good player. I think the other one is actually going to be the US dollar index, which you can play this with ETFs. If we look at the big picture of the US dollar, it has been making a series of higher lows, a series of higher highs. It's really just channeling its way up. Again, it has a pause, it has a rally, a pause, a rally. And I think we're going to see the US dollar index continue to push higher up into the 20s and even higher than that. We saw this back in 2000. We saw a massive move up in the dollar when there's global confusion. It's still the reserve currency. People still move into it. They cash out and they want to go to this. We saw the same in 2008, percentage-wise, a huge move in the dollar. 2008, everything crashed. The dollar took off. During COVID, we saw a little bit of a pop in a short-lived move, but it was 2022, that little bear market that we had. We saw everybody pile into the dollar. We played the dollar. It moved up like 17% in 2022 while the stock market fell. So I really like this. I think we're going to see a very big move up in the dollar. I hold my investment account in U.S. dollars and trade U.S. ETFs because I want the increase in value. And if you look at, for example, these different currencies of what they've all been doing, this is the FinViz chart of, you can see the U.S. dollar has been moving up. Pretty much every other currency has been going down. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be really good potential for Canadians, I think we're going to see the Canadian dollar, when we look at the monthly, the U.S. dollar to Canadian is going to have a very big move. I think we're going to see a $1.50, $1.60 exchange, which is why I want to hold U.S. dollars, because I think we're going to see a huge move percentage-wise. Once the dollar has this big rally and chaos hits the economy and we see this big exchange, I'll be cashing out of U.S. dollars, moving to Canadian dollars, because I think the dollar is going to go into a huge landslide and the Canadian dollar will come up much higher. So those are the two plays, a currency play and the bond play, are two that I really like that are setting up for some big picture moves that are somewhat, good plays for portfolios, like large
people. So I've come to the conclusion that I very much agree with you. And it's interesting that I didn't really check the charts as you have shown here. But it's just everything that's happening. I'm careful what I say just because of the YouTube lords, if you would.
Right.
I see a lot more upside to the US dollar. And that can be, it doesn't have to have a sell-off in the stock market for it still to go up. The equities could still go up. You could still have a strong US dollar.
Currencies are a great play. They're low volatility. They move very slow, but their trends last quite a while. This is the monthly chart. So it's a great way to move and manage large sums of money because they're disconnected from the rest of the financial space, right? They're their own beast. They're nice.
Yeah, no. Would that have a negative impact on gold and silver if the dollar moves up significantly, and significantly being 15% or so?
Yeah, I think it will. And that's probably one of the reasons why we see precious metals pull back during a financial reset is because, first of all, there's global selling. Everybody's got forced liquidation. They're scared. They just sell everything at some point, including gold. And then the other is the dollar is screaming higher. And so, you know, gold in US dollar terms is going to fall. So that's one of the reasons why we'll probably see, you know, precious metals take a back seat and drift lower while the dollar screams higher.
Interesting. Well, Chris, if people want, are they're a fan of your work as I am, how do they get in touch with you and how do they do business?
Yeah, well, on YouTube, you can just search The Technical Traders or go to my website, thetechnicaltraders.com, and I share my charts and every trade I do. I only trade ETFs. I share my precious metal plays. I just recently shared a Bitcoin trade that we're in, and really just kind of ride my coattails of what I do with my portfolio, and highly educational. You learn from videos every day and week while we navigate these markets.
Another comment, your friends, or I don't know if you know who I am, but a really good friend of mine, one of my partners, Dennis Leontiev, he is very familiar with your work. And he said, yeah, I've talked to Chris before. So I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people. But anyways, Christopher Mary Vermillion, one of the best technicians out there. A big fan of your work. I just want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'll put everything in the show notes.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Pleasure, and happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you.